Hey, everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continuing coverage of Filene's Big Bright Minds, located this year in Irvine, California. And here with us in our virtual studio lounge is Holly Fearing from Filene. Holly, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being here virtually for our event. This is a first, and it's really exciting to be able to do this hybrid, this scenario where you're there, I'm here, Everyone's over there in the session right now, and it's a wild world.
It is, and it's working. All right.
Yeah.
So we're doing this. It's a kind of the grand experiment of the, because you guys are having hybrid coverage as well. I mean, people can watch online, they can be there in person, obviously. So Kind of doing the same thing. We can be there online and watch vicariously or from afar, actually.
We have a good group of people here on site, but we even have more watching virtually. So technically there's people that could be from around the world that are on our event app and participating in our sessions. And we even have an MC for the virtual experience as the on-site experience. So
That's so cool.
All our audiences.
See, I think that's why I think the hybrid approach is going to be really beneficial for these conferences moving forward, because it's going to really expand their audience to those who may not have it in the budget to go or may not have the time to go. They can just drop in for a couple of sessions and then watch the recordings later, something like that. So much flexibility, which again, really expands the audience, I think. And you guys are going to be a perfect proof of that, I think.
Yeah, and we have so much content, and it takes a while for it to sink in sometimes. So I think that this is an even better experience for people to, whether they're on site or virtual, they can check out those recordings later. And you can listen to it once to get inspired and then listen to it a second time when you're like sitting down to go and apply some of those insights to your day-to-day job.
Or like somebody like you who can listen to it on your run or on your bike or I don't know, on your commute or something like that. So yeah, there's all sorts of really cool ways to listen to this. So you're going to be joining us each and every day for a daily wrap up of the day's activities and events and things like that. So I'm really excited because this is kind of a new twist that I really enjoy, because sometimes I do this by myself at conference previously at other conferences. So I really enjoy doing this, but to have you here, Holly, oh my gosh, this makes it even that much better. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I look at it like we're kind of partners in this, and I've been in the room all day listening to what people are saying. You've been talking to attendees all day long, so you've kind of heard from their perspective. So I'm kind of excited to just kind of put it together and hear from you, and then I can share some insights from what I've seen too, and give a nice recap for the whole day.
Indeed.
We have 3 days, so it's kind of important to get that quick download of what happened on this day, and then you can take it on to the next day and the next day.
Indeed. So, well, let's cut to the chase here. Let's start with, I don't know, however you want to do the wrap up. I mean, you want to start from the keynote and what that person's main message was, and then we can kind of proceed from there.
Yeah, sure. So kind of the reason why we've set it up with 3 days is because we have 3 focus areas that we are kind of funneling all of our work through for the next year or so. And so you probably heard it from attendees already today, but we are focused on the biggest challenges that credit unions face, large and small. And right now, those are digital transformation, mining for growth, and reimagining the value prop, the credit union value proposition. So each day we're focusing on a different topic of those 3, and we brought in our 6 Filene fellows that run our 6 centers of excellence to kind of pair them up and take a really kind of multifaceted approach to addressing each of those challenges. So today's challenge was all about mining for growth.
Okay.
So essentially what we mean by that is that, you know, credit unions are doing all right, but their margins are shrinking, their competition is growing, and what it's going to take to continue to grow as an industry is a ton of innovation. And when we talk about innovation, we are talking about innovation, not just in products and services, not just in technology, but also in the way you innovate to your members' needs and all types of members' needs. So really it's innovation in the way you run your business mm-hmm. and your product offerings, but also innovation in the way you highlight your mission and your value as a credit union and mm-hmm. why people would want to choose you over a fintech or over another type of financial institution or, you know, whatever is coming next to disrupt the financial services industry. Right, so that growth is really important to have innovation. And so that's why we brought in our new fellow for our Center for Innovation and Incubation, Dr. Jeffrey Robinson. And he was partnered up with Dr. Lisa Cervone, who runs our Center for Financial Lives in Transition, which is really kind of looking at the different types of needs that members have. So we can be really, really specific and segmented in the way we serve people. When we brought them together, Jeffrey's keynote was all about how you can have an innovation mindset. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to think like an entrepreneur. So he shared tips for credit unions to, you know, it's not something that I think credit unions often think about as being an entrepreneur because they're not often, they're not a small startup usually. But he shared some pointers on how you can think like a startup to get more innovative. Yeah. And then what's really cool is that then we brought on Lisa to do a keynote on, she talked about serving members' needs with kind of the main theory there was the curb cut effect, mm-hmm. which is it's a reference to when they started literally putting that cut into sidewalk curbs to help people who perhaps were in wheelchairs, for example.
Right, right.
However, that ends up helping a ton of other people, bikers, skaters, drunk people, maybe they're stumbling down the street, you know? So the idea behind it is that if you seek to serve those that need the support the most, you're also going to help everybody else out in your community. Mm-hmm. So that's an innovative way to approach service. And so the two of them combined kind of, I'm hoping gave our attendees a new way to frame that idea of growth through innovation.
Well, I think those keynotes really stuck because of the interviews that I did today. Almost every one of them alluded to those points, if not all of them. So yeah, what you guys are doing is spot on because from the last one that I had, Michael Stoja from Exigent, he talked about the behavior point of it. And then also, who was it? Zest AI's Jay Budzik. He talked about the entrepreneurial aspect of it. So that's just a fraction of what we talked about. So yeah, it sounds like what they said really struck a chord with these folks and is going to stick with them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we kind of paired it in the afternoon. We had Sam Paxson from Co-op mm-hmm. talk about some new research that they have done with EY around the ways that credit unions can really embrace the digital mm-hmm. environment, mm-hmm. but win on the service delivery. So like three kind of takeaways around like knowing your member better than anyone else, making sure that you're the go-to choice for your members for all their financial needs. And this really embracing the idea of connection, even if it's digital, even if it's remote, like really owning that idea of connecting. Mm-hmm. And if those three things are done right, the theory is that credit unions can really take back that top spot in mm-hmm. customer satisfaction.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. We had her in with Chris Harper, and she was talking about it. And she was also and Chris was talking about it as well, is how to make digital, not just using digital for digital's sake, but using digital to really make like human contact. How to how to enhance that human touch using the digital, again, yeah. not just using technology for the sake of technology, but using it to really enhance the human, I guess, the human effect that we're yeah. all, that we're all craving, that you guys yeah. are experiencing right now. We've been stuck in this Zoom world for the last year and a half. Now people are coming back and saying hi again. So it's the same thing with the digital. It's like, hey, we want to keep that human touch going. So, but you can yeah. really let the digital that we've all had to adopt the last year and a half. So yeah, really interesting how they kind of put the two together.
There was such a great phrase that I heard Sam mention too, that they're calling it the Great Reset.
Yes.
So yeah. it's you know, a great way to think about that, as if everything's kind of shaken up and things are getting reset, then mm-hmm. this is also a great opportunity to go out there and do things different, to grab those opportunities yeah. and take it and run with it.
Yeah. I remember her saying early on in the pandemic, I interviewed her and she said, treat this time as like you're a startup. Mm-hmm. hit the refresh button and throw out what's not working and really enhance what's working, and then adopt some new things along the line. You know, again, treat your organization, even though your organization might be 50 years old, treat it like a startup. Let's mm-hmm. this is the time to like revamp some things. So yeah, I totally get that. And thank you for the clarification, because in our interview earlier, I thought she said the Great Recess. I'm like, oh. wow, let's go out and play. Just kidding. But the Great Reset, that makes more sense. So yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. But you know, I like recess. It was always a good time. So I like bring that back too.
I talk to my kids and that's their favorite class of the day always. So straight through college, they loved recess. So anyway. We digress. So cool. So what else was happening there? Cause I mean, obviously, are you guys doing like traditionally at Big Bright Minds, you guys have these like excursions where you go out into the community and you see, you know, some endeavors or some really cool organizations that are doing some great things in the community. Are you guys doing that again this year?
Yeah. Or so that would have been tomorrow, because of COVID.
Oh, the COVID stuff
coming in and ruining everything. We just didn't feel like it was safe to bring attendees all over. But we are doing it. That usually is called Day Away, and mm-hmm. we have rebranded it Stay and Play. So we've got a couple opportunities for folks tomorrow afternoon to experience different learning activities. We've brought people in mm-hmm. for that, and so we still are going to have some opportunities for people to get outside of the credit union like headspace mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and think of things from some different perspectives.
Yep. And Stay and Play, that's a really good segue from the Great Recess. So yeah, that worked out perfectly actually.
Yeah.
So, and we also had, and you as well know, we had the Crashers, Courtney and her Crashers came in. Courtney Angeli, who is kind of the leader of the Crashers. She had a couple of Crashers come on and talk about their experiences. And so how is that going there from your perspective? Cause you're there right now and you're kind of watching and observing mm-hmm. and seeing how they're reacting too. So
yeah, the Crashers, they're so energetic. They're the most enthusiastic. They're infectious. They spread, you know, I don't know if we are allowed to say that anymore, but they spread the enthusiasm throughout the event.
Good energy.
Mm-hmm. By how eager they are to learn. And it's so great to see that, because I mean, it proves to me that the idea of the Crasher concept is still alive and well. It's a way to bring people that maybe wouldn't traditionally be able to come in person to these events. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the Crashers recognize the opportunity that they're given. There's this theme of opportunity kind of going around this event, and these opportunities to come and meet people and experience things, it really accelerates a lot of their careers. Completely. And I'm seeing it happen. I'm seeing them connect. I'm seeing Crashers that have done multiple crashes get ready for what's next for them, which a lot of times the logical next step is to apply for Filene's I-3 program and then be in that community for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that happens to a lot of I-3ers is they become chiefs or even CEOs at their organizations. Yeah, so cool. There's just this clear path and it happens. So it's a really great way for people to get embedded into the credit union idea and to jumpstart their careers.
Yeah, I fully take advantage of that opportunity. I keep calling it like the great backstage pass that that Courtney lines up for them, because they get this direct conduit or connection to all these kind of movers and shakers within the industry. And when you make those contacts, they stick, you know, and people remember, especially in this industry. It might be different for other industries, but people remember other people in this industry, especially those who really put forth an effort, especially these young up and coming leaders who really want it. People remember you. So, I mean, that's a great lesson for up and coming leaders out there. Put forth that effort and people remember that. So yeah, so that's cool. She also talked about the crash course, or the crashers course, the online version of it.
Yeah,
I thought that was really, I didn't know about that. That was really
cool.
Yeah,
that's
too.
A new program that we started again, COVID related. We couldn't have as many crashes in the last 18 months as we would have normally. So we started a virtual community where they are selected by their organizations. Our members get to put forward one or two people to participate. And then they were in a 9-month long curriculum where every month they had different lessons and different homework assignments. And it was kind of like self-directed, but they did it together as a group. And so what's great is a lot of them that were in the program the last 9 months are here crashing this in person. Yeah. So they're meeting for the first time in their life. And everyone's just so excited to see these people that they've been working with just virtually for almost a year. But yeah, the round two of that program is actually open right now.
Oh, okay.
And so they're going to be letting in 100 to 125 new people to go that's through the awesome. Next round of curriculum.
That's awesome. Oh, what a great program. I mean, that's been going strong now for how many years is that? Like, it's at least 10 years.
It's like 11.
11 years? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's stronger than ever. Oh my gosh. You guys do such a good job with that. So what else is happening from your perspective? So
yeah, we had we have a new group, we're calling the Filene Foundry, and it is a lot of them are fintech organizations that provide solutions for credit unions.
Okay.
So that's kind of an offshoot of our incubator where we want to test things. And this is a group of fintechs that are just kind of showing credit unions what they have to offer, so credit unions can see, you know, that the idea behind it is that we talk a lot of theory with our Filene fellows, and then we want to see what that looks like when we put it into practice.
Okay.
So we brought in a number of different groups to kind of talk through solutions that they have. And it's not a sales pitch. It's more just, this is what we're doing. And credit unions can see if that might be what they're looking for. Yeah. And they can talk about it. And they each is learning from the other. The fintechs are learning what the credit union industry needs. Credit union industry is learning more about what their options are out there. For example, one of the presentations was from ThinkStack, Chrisachi. You know him.
Oh, yeah.
And he was actually sharing a story. They were doing some cybersecurity research with us, but it was really fascinating what Chris shared. He was kind of sharing the trajectory of what it's like when ransomware happens to you. So imagine as a credit union, you get hacked, and then your information, which is really important for building trust and for your business and all that, and it was put under ransom. And you know, do you pay? What do you do?
Yeah, and to pay or not to pay?
And Chris was saying like the technical side of that is actually a lot easier than the like emotional trauma that it causes. And there's just like and these hackers, they know when to do it, so they usually do it like later in the day on a Friday when they think people are going to be you know, getting ready for the weekend and not at full strength. And so he was talking about, you know, there's this period of chaos, there's this period of trauma, and but then, you know, it's like you get it together. And that was like another reason why their services are just a great thing for credit unions to know about and just, you know, have at the ready, because those things do happen. And the reputational damage of losing trust if your data gets breached is is pretty hard to recover from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can build, it can take years and years for you to, your organization to build up this great reputation, but it takes seconds to just destroy it. Yeah. And that's what ransomware can do. Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, that's really scary. That's really scary stuff right now. Mm-hmm. And if you're a credit union, oh my gosh, be so, was it diligent and vigilant? Or one of the diligent in your efforts to protect your information, your members' information for sure. Cause it's happening everywhere, as we saw this year for sure. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious, there's a lot going on there.
There
Polly.
Is right now, like right now, our last session of the day, even still going, the I3 teams are giving some of their final presentations.
Oh, are they? Oh, that was one of my favorite parts of the Big Bright Minds, is going in there and watching them do their kind of their pitches, so to speak.
Yeah. Fun. We have so many teams this year, though, that we are actually going to have a couple of webinars happening in December for the rest of the I3 teams to be able to give their presentations. So the folks in the room today are going to be able to see it. People watching online are going to be able to see it. But then everybody else is going to be able to join us for our webinars in a little over a month.
Oh, right on. Right on. We'll check those out as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All righty. Well, anything else to add for today's? Because obviously you got another full day tomorrow.
So yeah, we've got another full day tomorrow. So tomorrow's topic is all going to be about the credit union value prop.
Okay.
And I'm very excited for that because we have another duo of fantastic fellows. We joke like, who's our favorite fellow? Because they're all our favorite. But Dr. Quinetta Roverson and we have Dr. Mai Nguyen, who is our new fellow for the Center for Community Social Impact.
Mm-hmm.
So together, they'll be doing keynotes and we're going to be doing the whole thing all over again and focused on credit union value prop.
And that's a great message to put out there because we're all looking for that value proposition as we come out of our little cocoon that we've been in for a while. So yeah, very, very important stuff. Hey, I want to ask you one thing that I've been asking everybody. What's your one takeaway from today? What did you take away from today?
My one takeaway, I would say there is a lot of energy in the credit union industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing people just eager to collaborate, to get shit done, if I can say that.
Exactly.
I hadn't really noticed before. You know, I think that when you take something away, like what COVID has done to us the last 18 months, it makes you appreciate what you have a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's going to be a lot less taking opportunities for granted from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to see ideas sparked here that, you know, one of the things that Jeffrey was talking about having an entrepreneurial mindset is that you can't always do things in tiny incremental changes. Sometimes you just have to go all for it and test it out and see. And that's how you make change is just go for it. And so I'm hoping that we're going to see some collaborations that make some significant change for the way that credit unions are able to help those in need.
Indeed. I think the audience really liked that statement. You timed your applause really, really well. Good job. Hey, my one takeaway for today was, I mean, so you probably saw it as well. Just everyone getting back together again. I mean, I bet the energy, like first thing this morning was like, oh my gosh, it's you. It's you. It's you. Yeah. I mean, just seeing that in person, but I have one that might trump that. And it was one of the guests that we had on earlier today. And it was the gentleman from Conductive, Gopal Swami. He said, this is a conference of do-gooders, and that will stick with me forever. You might want to trademark that for next year's Big Bright Minds.
I'll get on that. I love that.
I just thought that was so awesome, and I can't get it out of my brain. So this is a conference of do-gooders because everyone there is trying to do something great for credit unions. And whether it's, you know, through technology, whether it's through user behavior, whether it's through operations or whatever, you know, they're all this like-minded folks, these do-gooders looking to do some great things for credit unions. So it's pretty neat. So yeah, that was my big takeaway for today.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Conference of do-gooders. All right. Well, Holly, I'm going to let you get back at it. Thank you so much for everything that you did for us for today and setting up these interviews and kind of facilitating it. And this really cool wrap up. I love this. This is really, really neat.
Yeah. So, thank you. This is great. This will be helpful when I go, what happened? I can't remember. I'll come back and listen to it.
Yes, you have it recorded on video. So good stuff. Yeah. Alrighty, Holly. Well, I'm gonna let you get back at it and go have a fun evening. And then we'll see you first thing in the morning. Alrighty.
Sounds good. Thank you. All right.
Cool. Thank you so much.